It's time for Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.
Well, good morning and welcome to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Coronavirus continues to impact many aspects of daily life, and there has been new rules and regulations taking effect that local residents need to be aware of. And during the first part of our show today, we're going to hear from the city administrator for Sonora, Mary Rose Rudikanga, and the police chief for the city of Sonora, Taru Vanderweel. So thank you both, first off, for coming on and joining us via telephone this morning.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, BJ. Happy to be here.
I'll pose the first question to City Administrator Rudikanga. You know, there was a meeting this past Monday for the City Council in which health directives were discussed and how it will be enforced. So first off, can you take us from the top and explain a little bit about what was discussed and eventually approved?
Sure. Well, actually, this last meeting on Monday actually occurred via our Zoom capability. So that was the first time we were able to do a full meeting video conferencing, and it was actually well attended by the public. At one point, we had well over 65 people attending on our video conferencing. So obviously, the topics that were addressed on Monday were of great concern to the public. The council took action on three COVID health actions. The first one being delegating public health duties in the city of Sonora to the Tuolumne County Public Health Officer. This was a very important resolution. This allows the public health orders of the County of Tuolumne to be enforced within the city jurisdiction. That was approved unanimously by the council. The second action that the council took was the urgency ordinance to enforce the stay-at-home order. And it also addressed fines that the city was looking at to ensure that those businesses deemed essential versus non-essential were open or closed. We looked at that urgency ordinance actually looked at defining essential versus non-essential. It ensured that the city was enforcing the governor's executive order and allowed the city to be able to enforce this ordinance on an administrative citation basis versus a criminal citation. So that's what that urgency ordinance addressed. And then the last urgency ordinance that the council approved was an ordinance addressing our short-term vacation rentals. And this was done really in conjunction with our public health officer. This last Friday, on the 3rd, the health officer had ordered the directive of short-term vacation rentals closed to limit the amount of visitors entering into our community. So this ordinance really followed up on that public health officer order. All actions were approved unanimously 5-0 by our city council.
And Chief Vanderweel, from a regulation standpoint, you know, how will this be enforced?
So the enforcement aspect of this is actually administratively done. So there are fines that can be imposed, and the enforcement portion of it can be carried out by any member of city staff as designated by the city administrator, myself. Those would be imposed and ultimately collected outside of the criminal realm of things. That is why I fully support this ordinance. There are already criminal enforcement methods in place to enforce violations of these type of orders. What this does is gives us a less intrusive tool to gain compliance from those who just refuse to cooperate with the governor's orders and the state health officer's orders and our local health officer's orders. So I believe that because this is less intrusive, because it gives us one more step to manage this problem without going criminal, I think it's the best option.
So what are the different steps on the scale when it comes to penalties?
So we have penalties start out at $250 for the first offense. It doubles after that, so the second offense would be $500, and then every subsequent violation after that would be a $1,000 fine.
And then so violators, would they expect to get a warning first, or does it go straight to penalties?
No, absolutely. We still implement education first, warning letters, and if we just cannot gain compliance as a last resort, we would have this option to to fall back on.
And City Administrator Rudy Congo, what are you noticing when it comes to compliance? Are most businesses, you know, following the rules at this time?
I would say yes. You know, most of our businesses within the city jurisdiction are following the governor's orders, are following the public health officer's orders, and are in compliance. We are still receiving, you know, a small amount of complaints of businesses that are remaining open that are deemed non-essential. And this tool, this urgency ordinance, gives us the ability to address those businesses that are out of compliance with the governor's order. But I would say that is a small minority that we are seeing, for the most part, our businesses complying with the governor's orders.
And Chief Vanderwill, if there is a store, a business that's breaking the rules and is non-essential, if a person goes into the shop and receives a service or buys a good there, are they at fault, or as well as a business owner, or just a business owner?
The person going into the store in violation of the health order would also be at fault. They would be responsible as well. This is focusing on the actions of businesses that stay open, that encourage people to gather. And that's what we're focusing on. But yes, it is enforceable to those who patronize businesses that should be closed.
So there is some personal responsibility aspect that people should educate themselves and find out what's essential and non-essential.
Absolutely. And as Mary Rose said, we've gotten a great response from our community, and most people are complying and doing the right thing. You know, we're getting calls for those few businesses that are not complying on a regular basis, and where we have a tracking system and a process of how we address those, and like we said before, you know, the warning system and the education system before we get into the penalties.
I know after the city council meeting this past Monday, I received a number of calls on the news line with different questions for clarification. One question that came up from some people is it still okay to take a walk or bike around Sonora and not have to fear to get a ticket?
Yes, I would say most definitely. You know, just please practice your social distancing guidelines of 6 feet, ensuring that you're not walking hand in hand with people or close to people. We want to encourage people, you know, to get out to exercise. However, we want to make sure that they are still practicing social distancing. We have our Dragoon Gulch Trail still open because we do know that getting out and walking and getting exercise is a crucial part of this stay-at-home order, but please ensure that you are practicing social distancing when you are out getting some exercise.
Another question I've received is from people. One caller called and asked, you know, he was from Groveland and said, you know, is it okay if I drive into Sonora still and shop around at different places that are deemed essential to do some shopping and not have to worry about ticketing and that type of thing?
I would say yes. You know, we would encourage people to shop as close to home as possible, but we also understand that, you know, most of the shopping opportunities are here in Sonora. We're all in the same county. We are the hub, the business hub of the county. So there would be no violation of the health orders or state orders for that person to do so.
And City Administrator Rudy Conga, are there efforts underway at the city level to try to find shelter for homeless residents that are in the city right now?
I will say, you know, we're working very closely with the County of Tuolumne, and I will say that the county is taking a great stance right now to work with the state to address the homelessness as it relates to the COVID a pandemic at the moment. I know the county has applied for additional funding to address the homelessness issue, the displaced person issue, and they're working with local hotels right now to offer housing for those persons that have been displaced or are homeless. Our short-term vacation rental ordinance addressed exemptions to allow those vacation rentals to still remain open. And one of those exemptions was the ability to house displaced or unsheltered persons, working in conjunction with, you know, the county's program, homelessness program.
You know, a final question for people who have, you know, business that they want to do with the city of Sonora. Are the front doors closed right now? Should people be calling ahead?
Please call ahead to City Hall. We are not allowing public to enter our facilities right now, but please call ahead if you have questions, and we can direct you and hopefully work with you as soon as possible.
Any other comments that you'd like to mention before we wrap up today?
BJ, I just want to stress that this ordinance, as well as the legal remedy, the criminal enforcement remedy, to this is viewed and is going to be handled as a last resort. City leaders including myself, and I know that it extends to county leaders, they do not want to have to resort to this. It's only there for those who just flat out refuse to comply and, you know, really create a higher risk of infecting our vulnerable populations by not complying. We want this to end as quick as possible, so the quicker people comply, the quicker we'll get through this. I can tell you it's a difficult time for everybody, but from a law enforcement management perspective, it's particularly unique. Excuse me. Because as a member of my community, you know, we want everyone to thrive and enjoy life and liberties and all that. As a local government official, we recognize the serious economic impact this will have on our city. But as a steward of public safety, I'm obligated to do everything in my power to regulate activities and behaviors that can threaten the safety and security of others. So, you know, again, last resort stuff here. So, your listeners, our listeners, people out there, please take it upon yourself, take responsibility, and do the right thing.
Well, we appreciate all the clarification. And City Administrator Rudy Conga, anything else to add?
Yeah, I'd just like to add, you know, we really want to ensure that our small businesses can recover from this financially. And we have set up information on our website on how they can reach out for financial assistance through the Small Business Administration. Also, the Tuolumne County has set up an actual webpage called tcassistance.com that they can log in and see how they can reach out to SBA for their small business assistance loans.
Well, I appreciate the update. Thank you to you both, and stay safe.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, BJ.
Again, that was the new city administrator for the city of Sonora, Mary Rose Rudy Conga, and the Sonora Police Chief, Taru Vanderweel, talking about this past Monday's city council meeting, rules and regulations put in place in regards to coronavirus, and the fine and fee structure that has also been put in place. During our next segment, we're going to be joined on the telephone by Tuolumne County Sheriff Bill Pooley. He'll be talking about some changes that have occurred with the sheriff's office in response to COVID-19. Then a little bit later on in the program, we're going to hear a little bit more about a new telephone line that's been put in place. Tuolumne County Supervisor Anaya Kirk helped spearhead that. It's a new Hope Line. We'll hear about what it's about and what it hopes to accomplish. That is coming up later on Motherlode Views. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Our second segment coming up in just a minute.